Amen, dankie. You guys, good morning. What a privilege for me to be here. What an absolute privilege, number one, to belong to Jesus. Number two, what an absolute privilege any time in our life, if it's one person or 5,000, when we get to speak of this name that hanged on a cross for us. You guys, what a privilege. What a privilege to speak to you about who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. The Lord just showed me this picture, so I just quickly want to ask you to just to close your eyes, and I want you to see in front of you a plate. It's your Sunday morning plate. God has laid it on the table in front of you. That plate is very empty, and I want you to see how God takes by His Spirit. There are two large bowls. It's called joy, and the other one is called freedom. And I want you to see how God takes a large dishing up spoon. He takes a large heap of that joy. He puts it on your plate. Then He takes from the plate. It's joy, and the other one is freedom. He takes a large scoop. He puts it on your plate in front of you right now. Because of the Spirit of God, because of His Word, nothing else, because of nothing else than Jesus and His Word. This is in the plate in front of you. And you and me, you and I, we can choose whether we want to eat of this in this morning or not. God is such a gentleman. He comes to invite us. Our inheritance and portion is joy and its freedom. But He will never force nothing. So in this morning, you can choose. I can choose to say, God, here I am. I'm hungry. I want to eat from what You want to give me today. Or you can sit and miss out. And God will still love you and will exit the building still being loved, but missing out on what He has for us. So right now in your heart or out loud, I just want you to say to God, I'm hungry, more hungry for this than the things of the world. I want You in this morning. Just, respond to Him. Just say that. Yeah, Jesus, we just come to You and say, this is what we want, God. It's You that we want, Jesus. I don't want the things of this world. I want You, God. We want You, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord was showing me this plate and what He dishes up and how we get to choose whether we partake of what He has for us or not. As Retief was saying, if you've got a word. So that's God's heart for us this morning, and actually every day He's dishing up exactly what we need, but every day we can choose to go to that place and receive everything that we need, or to be distracted by things that will always be more urgent, big inverted commas. There will always be things, look and listen to me, you guys. This is a word for every season of our life. There will always be things more important than running to God, than pursuing His heart, than serving His house, than serving a brother or a sister that's in need, whether it's emotionally, financially, or just sending a text message. There will always be something more important. The enemy will always throw that card to distract us. But the enemy has been defeated, so he can't hold us back. The Lord sent us, so He's not going to hold us back. So the only one that can hold us back is us. There is someone that can hold us back, and that's us. But then God comes in His truth and His inspiration and encouragement, and He doesn't come with a taser and say, hey, come on, wake up, like we want to do with ourselves and each other sometimes. He comes to inspire us by His goodness to say, come on and follow me. Don't hold back, my darling. Don't hold back, my son. I've made you to run for me. Come on and follow me. So in this morning, God actually wants to inspire, and He wants to love on you in a place that where you see things of His heart that is new to you. Or maybe you've seen it for a while, but of the distractions, there's been so many. It's been grown dull, your sight in this area. God is setting free in this morning, this whole time. And while we were worshiping, I kept on seeing a line, a cupboard with, what's a line in English? A drawer, thanks. I do that when I have to preach in English. I ask you people what the word is. I do that often. So apologies for that. So the whole time I was seeing this cupboard with these drawers, and some of the drawers were stuck. And God is saying today He's just coming with His Spirit, with His anointing, which is the Q20, and He's going to unstuck, get loose in Jesus' name. Anybody say amen, want to agree with that? Yes, because there's power in our lips when we agree with what the Spirit of God is saying. So in this morning, I really perceive God saying He wants to set free, He wants to lubricate by His Spirit, His anointing. It's the only thing that can break the yoke. So I'm so excited for that. So thank You for those drawers, Lord. We just say yes. And even those drawers that are still closed, thank You that today You're going to open them up. And for some of them that are a little bit stuck, today is the opening up. And the whole time inside the drawers, there are different things. And I see different colors, and I see pink and blue and different bright and happy, abundant colors in it. And this world, it's gray when it comes to the hearts of people. People are downtrodden. People are heavy. People have fear. But God comes. He brings joy in the place of heaviness. He brings joy in the place of fear. And guess through whom he does it? Jesus in me and you. He uses his bride. So he comes to open up her eyes to what he puts in you. And then from there, through reconciliation with him, you see what he's put in you. And from there, he says, through you, I want to hand out. Through you, I want to hand out joy, love, hope. You guys, people are dying for hope. We can hand out hope whenever we want. We've got Jesus and we've got mouths. And even though we don't have, even if we had to go mute, we could send text messages, we could send emails, we can write it in the sand, the words of God that brings hope, that brings life. So God has a desire to fan to flame the hope in your heart today. This is his heart for you. This is his heart for me. And from that place, he wants to hand out hope to others. He doesn't expect you to have like nothing and you're on your end and you're like, and then he's like, hey, you better start outward focus now. Why don't you hand hope? That's not God. That's us. We like manuals and law. But the Spirit of God says, would you come to me? I want to give you new hope. And the thing about God is, he never gives as much as you can contain. Never. When it comes to love, hope, joy, and his peace, it's always more. When you find it in God, it's always more. So the natural reaction is it spills out, it spills over to other people. So that's the good news, is God is not asking you to be in a place of burnout. He's actually just asking you to come to him in a place of surrender. And from that surrendering, you can't help, but it spills out. So if I take this bottle and I put the lid on and I put it under, and I put it under a tap, what's going to happen? Is there going to be water running into the bottle? It's just going to spill around it, okay? Is the tap angry at the bottle? Is the tap offended with the bottle? Is the tap disappointed in the bottle and that's why it's not going on? No, 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 it's very simple, it's very practical. There was just a proppy. There was something, there was a lid. Now I take the lid off, I put it under a tap, I open it up. What's going to happen? It's going to get filled up. And if it keeps on going, the tap, it's going to spill over. And whoever and whatever, whatever colleague, whatever neighbor, whatever person that's jealous of you, whatever person loves you, when they walk past, they'll get living waters. And often we look at different things and we're like, what's wrong with the tap? And why doesn't the tap? And what me? But the Lord just says, just take the lid off. How do we take lids off? We repent and just turn back to Jesus. We repent and just turn back to Jesus. He doesn't fill up the very precious or loved or anointed. He fills up each one that says, here I am, God. And that's his heart's desire for you, is to fill you up to a place that people around you can't help but say when they were with you, oh, but they feel encouraged. Oh, but they feel loved. Because you're an amazing Christian? No. Because you keep on taking the lid off. You keep on saying, Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want you. What's going to happen is the people around you get him too. What a bargain. What a privilege. So did you know that God is community? He's like not part of community. God is community. He's three in one. It's not like, oh, one of these things on his heart is community. God is our provider. God is the Father. God is love. God is community. He's three in one. And this is such good news. I want to give to you. He said that's not enough. He wanted more. God wanted more community than the three. Three in one. If we look at Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in our own image. Let us make people for us that are like people, more beings that is in our image that we can connect with, that we can have community with. We want more. God wanted more. He wanted more fellowship, more relationship. That is why he made you. Yes, the outflow of knowing God is to glorify him. Yeah, the outflow is obedience. There's lots of outflow. The outflow is to love on people. But God actually didn't make you to love on people. If you look at Genesis, the first chapter of the first part of the word, God says, let us make man in our own image so we can be with him, so we can be connected. The outflow is you want to bring him glory. The outflow is you want to love on people because that's his heart. When you connect with his heart, the outflow is his heart. When we connect with the world that is lust and fear, the outflow is we want to lust, we want to fear. But when we place ourselves under the tap, when we say, yes, God, I want you, the outflow is we hand out God. But you were made because he wanted you. And from we open our eyes, we receive rejection in this world. Different people and places, on purpose, by accident, saying, I don't want to play with you when you're little. And you remember that. Your spirit remembers that rejection. Maybe you were big and people still spoke like that. Yeah, people still do that, even though we're big, because people will still be broken no matter their age. But God comes and he says, here's your purpose. It's to know me and I want to know you. This is why I made you. So sometimes what happens is we start focusing on the outflow because we think, if I hand out water, it means I'm connected to a tap. And then what happens is we go dry, and then we mad, then we angry at the tap. Did you not see, tap, how much water I was handing out? I can't believe I'm empty. And the tap is like, yes, that's why I'm calling you the whole time. He's calling us to his heart, saying, come closer. I so want to fill you up. And then we're angry. We go, can you not see I'm empty? Can you not see my heart is sore? And God is like, can you not see the cross is empty? Can you not see my son rose again? So you could not be separated anymore, but you could come back and just receive all the water you need. That's so his heart. So today I'm just sharing with you how God has come to show me that. Sometimes we pursue outflow. We pursue handing out living water, and then we get so dry and so angry, and God says, you weren't made to pursue that. You were made to pursue me. I made you so I could be with you and be reconciled with you. How do I know? Let's talk about the egg or the chicken, which was first. Did God first make an egg? And then from the egg, there were, you know, in Genesis, did he make the eggs and from the eggs came chickens? Or did he make chickens and from the chickens came eggs? Do not chickens, do not eggs. You know, it's an age-old question. But now, if we look at Scripture, he says, my scripture friend, let's go to Ephesians 2 verse 10, please. Yes, sorry, Ephesians 2 verse 10. So it says, we were created for good works in Christ Jesus, that he created long ago. So he put certain gifts in you. He put certain colors, certain goodies, certain things in the drawer that is you. And once you open up by the Spirit of God, other people can eat, can taste of that goodness, can receive that. Okay, but according to the scripture, Mariette, then we were made to do good stuff. Okay, yes, that's what scripture is saying. The next one, Isaiah 43 verse 7. It says, no, we were created for his glory. He says so in his word. I created you for my glory. And this is true because this is what the word says. Let's look at John 4. Oh, no, it's not there. But in John 14, in different places, he says, if you love me, you will obey me. And then a little later in John 14, again, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Oh, but wait, Marie, you say God made us to love him, but now he's saying, like, he'll love us if we obey him, if we keep his commandments. And this is true because this is the word of God, and the word of God is true. Matthew 7 verse 21 to 23. This is also, it's on the slides, Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Up it. So God says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Okay, so we need to do the will of the Father to get to heaven. Then 22, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You guys, 22, when he says, did I not do these amazing things? Who of you know, if you're a baby Christian and you saved for a while and discipled a bit, you're not necessarily going to pray and people get delivered and healed like that. mostly people that, you know, that have been like, have amazing deliverance, you know, gifting and a heart for that. They've been walking with God for a while. They've been pursuing holiness and freedom and fasting and praying. You guys, don't be afraid. I just want to honor your leader for encouraging you to fast, because God doesn't say in the word, sometimes maybe on missions or extreme praying for kids' days, you should fast. Scripture the whole time speaks of when we are fasting. So it's an amazing tool that God gives us so that the kingdom of heaven can come in our life. And when we do not use that tool, it's sort of saying for the lid, just go open to there, but you can hang around over there. I'm all right for here. But you guys, God wants to bring freedom in your life. He wants to bring freedom to the people around you. So I encourage you to fast. I encourage you also to fast from food. If you haven't done a 3-day fast, do a 1-day fast and grow to that place. But do not miss out on the weapons of warfare that God has given you to have victory and kingdom come in your life and come into the other people's lives. I want to encourage you with regards to that fasting. So a lot of people that, you know, that pray for deliverance, you know, they might be fasting for a couple of days and end because their heart is so set on God. And then he says, yeah, but I didn't know you. So there's a place where our fruits can be looking like, we know God, because look at my outflow. I prayed, the lust and fear went. I prayed the healing of that ear, the ear popped open. And then we're like, yes, that must be a man of God, because look at the fruits. And yes, we do look at the fruits, but there's still a place where God says, even apart from your outflow, still this one thing, I want to know you. You were made to know me. It's how you get into heaven. It's from a place of knowing me. And then from that, with that, he says, but from the place of knowing me, there will be obedience and people will be set free in the spirit, in the natural. There will be a place of obedience where people are encouraged and loved by you. But because you knew me and you pursued me, if we look at Romans 5 verse 8. Romans 5 verse 8. Do I have it there? Is it coming? But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why am I putting up that scripture? He wanted to know, was it the chicken or the egg first? Do I obey God and then I love him because I started doing the right stuff? Or did I love God and then I started obeying him? Scripture says, we had nothing to bring to the table to make God want us. Like when we were born in sin, we didn't have the option, some of us, to be born in sin and some of us to go, now I'm going to choose Jesus when I get born. I don't want the world. I want Jesus. No, none of us have that option. We get born in sin. And then what God says is, before you ever choose me, and still if you never choose me, I want you. And that's why it says Christ died for us while we were still sinners. So that's why I believe the love comes first. With regards to obeying and loving, chicken or the egg, I say the love comes first because the word of God says he loved us first. And from that place of creating us, we were with him in the beginning. We were tight. We were fellowshipping with him day and night. There was no shame. There was no fear. There was no good bodies or ugly bodies. There was just beauty and people walking with God without clothing because there was no shame. There was no fear, just freedom. Just freedom and love. And then because sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve choosing to submit under Satan, there was the separation. And that's why God said, wait, I made you to be with me. Now sin brought separation, but I will send my son and he will die for you while you are still a sinner, because I loved you when I made you and I loved you when I sent Jesus. And love motivates the Father to send Jesus to hang naked on a cross on our behalf, not just so that we can go to heaven, but so that now on earth our joy and portion, irrespective of our situations, can the whole time, if we want it, it can be peace and hope and joy. Peace and hope and joy can be your portion. It can be my portion. No matter when was the last time that you had financial freedom according to a capitalistic 2017 system or not. Whether you're 99 and unmarried and you're living in Siberia without any friends or not, God's heart is so joy, love, freedom, and peace. And the world keeps on saying, hey, but if you've got this much people liking you or loving you, if you've got this much financial freedom, ooh, you're going to have peace. Really? I know a lot of people with a lot of financial income and freedom that need to take medication because only Jesus can set us free. That, and nothing against medication. I was on antidepressants for 4 years before the Lord healed me of depression. And in that time, there wasn't people to disciple me. And that made a big difference in my life at that stage. But God's heart is full on freedom because that's what Jesus died for. It's not just going to heaven, but right now here on earth. That thing you're standing in faith for a colleague maybe to know Jesus. That thing you're standing in faith for maybe for a family member. Jesus died so that now while you stand in faith, that prayer can be answered in front of your eyes. So sometimes those prayers get answered immediately because you're just adding on to your Omar who's been praying for many more years than you. And sometimes we the start of prayer and somebody else is going to see that to fulfillment. But I want to encourage you and say, Jesus died so that everything in heaven can come down to earth now. Because Jesus didn't pray and say, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. One day when everybody's perfect. No, he said, let your king, when Jesus prayed, he said, let me teach you how to pray, how to live. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, now, today, as I drink of this cup, I want kingdom. And God has this desire for people to be healed everywhere we go. God has this desire for people to be encouraged and to be loved on everywhere we go. And here's the good news. He made each one of us different. Though our value, like those pills, are the same to him, our function on where we lie, where we are, is different. And if you want the enemy to steal from you, here's a tip. Compare yourself to other people in the body or outside the body. If you want to be used by God for your function, here's a tip. Compare yourself to, Lord, what have you made me for? What are my giftings? How do you want to use me? Compare yourself to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Because it's in that place that people's lives will be touched. So, a while ago, my tackies are really old. But because I look after them really well, if you look at the bottom, it looks like they've only been used a few times. That's a joke. But they're really 9 years old, but they look fantastic at the bottom. But I've repented. I'm trying to exercise more. But on the top, it's not amazing. So I sprayed it gold because I like gold. And I went, I'm actually living in Joburg currently. So I was in Melville, it's close to the CBD. I was walking to the spa and I see three guys in the morning around 11 and they're drinking beer and smoking and taking selfies outside a laundromat. And I walk and I'm like, oh, this is so random. And as I walk past, naturally, without hearing a voice or anything, I just go, like a party. I'm just like spontaneously, because God made me like that, to say spontaneous random things to people I know and I don't know. And it's not that I try to be, I need to be random and cool. It's just like it pops in and then it comes out. So I'm just, because God made me like that. And I can either try to be really cool and only say like cool stuff. Who says what's cool? So we can always try to fit into some random person's idea of good enough. Or we can say like, Lord, show me who you made me to be. I just want to be that. Because that's your secret weapon for people to get saved. If you are who God made you to be, you are his secret weapon so that people can get saved. Why am I saying this? Because God made me to, I like to have conversations with people that I don't know. I always go to the shops and then start chatting to people for days. And it's amazing because then, because I am who God made me to be, then people can get saved, etc. Anyway, so I'm walking by. I'm like a party. And they're like, no, we actually just, they think I'm like very serious. And they say, no, we're just waiting for our laundry. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, oh, we like your shoes. Again, it's 9-year-old Adidas that I sprayed gold, but these guys are from Congo, they like a sticky bling, so they freak out, but they really go, oh, and I'm like, ooh, ooh, and I'm like, can I tell you how much it costs? They're like, yes, because those shiny sneakers are like sometimes a few grand. Anyway, so I'm like, $60. No, now they're first excited, you know, now they're very excited. So this is how we start chatting, and I'm like, what's your name? And I'm Mariette, and it's Jay, and Nuno, and the third guy's name. And here the Holy Spirit, you know, opens up the door wide open. He says, his name is Peter. And that previous night in small group, we were discussing something about what the Lord said about Peter. So quick interruption again. When I have conversations with people, the whole time I'm saying to my one ear, the one ear is listening here and the other ear is saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to them? Is there something you want to ask them? Is there something, a word of encouragement, of love? Like, what do you want to say to them? So the more we practice that, the more you will hear it. Can anybody hear 5FM playing here in this place? 5FM, the radio station. Let's listen. No, there's no radio. Does that mean they're not broadcasting? No, but I can't hear them. We are not tuned into their wavelength. That's why we can't hear them. But KFM and all those people, they are going. The Holy Spirit, the whole time, everywhere we go, He's broadcasting, He's speaking, He's wanting so much more through you and me to minister and to love and encourage people. That's why He made people, is to love people. It says so in His Word. He says the bride, this broken but glorious vessel that's going to disappoint you, but that's going to choose to love you. This is His first option, and He said it's His last option. So through you and through me, He is wanting for us to pick up on what His Spirit is saying, just to love and encourage on people. And you guys, sometimes you're not going to quote scripture. Sometimes God is asking, will you be interested in the person that everybody else in church is walking past? Would you be interested in that person sitting in the workplace that everybody walks past because they don't fit into whatever the world sees as attractive or socially acceptable? And we can choose to go, no, I just want to go on for my coffee break and come back. Or we can say, okay, Holy Spirit, this is, I don't know how, but I'm willing. And we can just be interested in that person. And you don't know if that person was sitting that morning at home saying, Lord, if you exist, then somebody has to see me today or I'm done. You don't know. But the adventure is, we don't have to know. We just listen to the Spirit of God. And the whole time He is wanting to speak to you and through you to people. So Peter is like, and this one is Peter, and I'm like, you guys, do you know like what Jesus said to people, Peter, in the Bible? And they're like, ha ha ha, Peter. They laugh, they're like, ha ha ha, Peter, Bible. I'm like, no, but really, do you know? And they're like, yeah, they know that story. And I'm like, but listen to this angle, which I hadn't heard before then. So Peter must now deny Jesus like full on 3 times. He went for gold with that. After going for gold, declaring, I will stay faithful and be on fire for Jesus. For even like 2 years later, it's like, do you, no, church. No, I'm not going to church. I'm like, we are the church, Marie. Okay, yes. But in that place where we stay humble, we take disappointment to Jesus. We don't take it to heart and run away from the bride who God died for. So I'm going to encourage you to fight for community, to fight for relationship with other godly people, because there's an enemy fighting for you to be misunderstood and be offended. And if we fight back, the kingdom of heaven will come. And if we just listen to that, we'll be separated. So these guys, it comes out, they grew up in Christian homes, but they haven't been in church for years. And as I share with them, I say to them, but did you know that Peter went for gold in denying God for gold, like the way he did it? And guess what Jesus, what his words were the first time he appeared again to the woman when he was risen from death? He said, tell the disciples and Peter to wait for me there, I'm coming. Like Jesus just keeps on pursuing. Not because of our brokenness or never whether we hold, just because Peter's heart was for God and he said, that's all I wanted. It's all I wanted was your heart to be for me. Whether we disappoint God 1,000,000 times or 0 times, like God says, my heart is, I want you. So Peter went for gold in denying God after declaring his eternal love. And Jesus' first words to the woman is, tell the disciples and Peter, I'm waiting for. And that's God's heart. And as I share this with them, like the Holy Spirit starts ministering to them and they're overwhelmed. And I'm like, yes. And they're like, oh, whoa. And so now we start praying for each other. And another man like walks past and he says, I'm so sorry, I can't help it. But are you speaking of Jesus? And we're like, yes. And he's like, oh, can I talk with you? So now like the 4 is 5. And I'm like, these guys are going to pray for you. Do you have any prayer needs? And he says, yes, he's struggling with his work. And I'm like, guys, okay, so now you lay hands on him and just speak any blessing, any good thing with regards to work over him. And they're like, and softly in their first language, French, these men start praying for this guy. This is from a drinking smoking pot 11 in the morning outside the laundromat to them, praying for this guy. He's on his way again, and this guy, and we say, so we chat on, and it comes out this guy, these people are actually hungry for God, and I say, but have you heard of the Holy Spirit? And they're like, yeah, I don't know about him. And I'm like, oh, Acts says you can be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you start praying in tongues, and then you have power to be his witnesses to the end of the earth. Go check in Acts 1 if I'm lying or not. It's really important to discern everything against the word of God and not against whether you think I'm cool or not. So we pray, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And as we say amen, he says, I haven't felt that. I haven't felt that since I was little. We used to spend time with God as a family. And I'm like, you recognizing the presence of God, because I can share with you, but only God can show the truth. And all God is asking is, would we share so he could partner with us and show you guys, God wants to partner with us, with you. But he sent an answer. If he said to Peter that denied him in his chops and like, I'm waiting for you, this is how I love you, because of your heart, what is he saying to you and to me? He's saying, I want to partner with you. So would you share so I could show myself? Anyway, after that, like, they've visited church, and it's just amazing. So it's amazing. Woo, that's great. But Mariette, I don't like speaking to strangers. I actually don't even like speaking to people. Because some different people have different giftings. But guess what? The person that doesn't like speaking to people, you're great with everything, I suck. I need you, and you need me, and we need each other. The Pauls need each other. So I want to encourage you and say, I'm sharing this testimony so you can be encouraged and know that God wants to use you whenever and wherever. But know this, if you want the enemy to steal from you, compare yourself to others. But if you want to be used by God so people can know Jesus through your life, say to him, but how did you make me? How can my gifting get people saved? How can my gifting get people spirit-filled? Because you've got different, you've got Bible school, you've got different courses, encounter courses that they're doing here at church. I will suck at doing that because I get distracted. But if that's your gifting and you're doing encounter one and somebody's being taught on the Holy Spirit, your hand was part of somebody getting spirit-filled. So it's so important that I want to encourage you to say, God, I know that you want to be with me, and I know that the outflow is other people are going to start seeing you too. But what are my giftings? How do you want to use me? The enemy cannot hold you back from God using you to build his house, and God's not going to hold you back. But if we listen to lies and distractions, then we can be held back. But today, God is coming with his Spirit, and he's making loose those drawers, and they're just going to open up. So what is the outflow of being with God? There's peace. John 14:27. It speaks of the peace that God gives us. Another outflow of being in Christ. And this one is good. Romans 8:1-2. Oh, this is so good. Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life. The law, not the law of like right and wrong. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So you guys, sometimes we think pursuing God and serving God is about doing right and wrong. And if you do enough right, you all right. And if you do enough wrong, like, you're in trouble. But Jesus says the only way you can get in is to know me. Is to know me. Is to know me. The outflow is you want to hand him out. But often we think and we communicate to other people by accident, yo, you better do the right thing, hey? So you be good enough. That is a demonic teaching that is opposite of Scripture. Scripture says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was, he died and he rose again, you will be saved, it says in Romans 10:9. That is how we are saved. And then from that place of repenting, turning to Jesus, receiving salvation by faith, from that knowing him, there's an outflow saying, I want to be obedient to God because I want to know him more. I want to be obedient to God because I need other people to get to know him. Because somebody loved Jesus so that you could get saved. Somebody loved Jesus and organized a first year camp so that I can recommit my life to the Lord. So now it's mine, your turn to love on Jesus so somebody else can get to know Jesus, get to know the Holy Spirit, get to know deliverance from lust, depression, and fear, and receive hope and encouragement. That's what he died for. The price has been paid. Price has been paid. Everything in the shop everything in the shop. Peace, love, hope, joy, a house, a husband, kids, a wife, a second wife for some people. Whatever, like, whatever. God knows what your heart, what you can handle, what your dreams are. It's all been paid for. And God says, you access, you purchase by faith. By faith in the name of Jesus, not by faith and faith. It's like very trendy. Faith, hope, love, and peace. In who? Ah, the universe, or, you know, no, in my yoga, whatever. No, we have faith in Jesus because Jesus is the one that has paid for it. So our faith is in Jesus, and by that we can access everything we need, and everything your neighbor needs, you can access for them. That's why God created intercession. Intercession is like intercept. There's two people, you go in the middle, and the dots are connected. God wants us to step in between the people around us and him. Take God's hand, take their hand, and put it in there. Put their hands in each other. That's how I believe God gave us two hands. We want us to choose Jesus and choose reconciliation with the Father through Jesus, who said, I made you so I could know you. You were made to be known by me. The other one is to take another brother and a sister's hand and say, if you want, I can put your hand in Jesus' hand. And you put it in, you say to them, hey, your other hand, that's made for another believer. And remember to tell them, your one hand's holding on to Jesus, the other one is just there to connect us to God. So if we look at what the outflow is and how it is, the things that we can do to serve and to love on God, we were saying there's peace, there's no more condemnation. This morning I'm driving here and the enemy goes, yeah, but you suck in this and this. Oh, no, will you break? And I'm like, yeah, luckily God doesn't use people that don't suck. We all suck. He only uses the willing. And then I could just deal with that thought, because there will always be a thought that tells you you are not qualified for the Holy Spirit to work through you. And then you, again, and me, we can choose, am I going to listen to that or not? Because that thought has been overcome by the blood of Jesus. All the lies and all the accusations. That's why the enemy is called the father of lies. But God is the God of truth, and he's paid perfectly for all those lies to go. But we choose whether we submit under them or not. And that's why we need community to remind us what's the truth. I need people to remind me of what's the truth. When I need remembrance, I message Edna Andretief. I'm like, you need to pray for me. She will pray for me, but she will also speak to me in truth. And truth sets us free. So we need to fight for community. In Psalm 92, it's on the slide, Psalm 92, 13 to 15, it says, they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So God says when we are planted in his house, there is a place of strength and courage that we get from the Spirit of God through the community, that whether we're old or young, we will bear fruit that other people will say, I want to be planted where you are planted. And you can say, do you want to come with? I'm planted in the house of God. I'm planted in Jesus. So you guys, we sometimes think doing right and wrong, that's going to make, you know, if you do right, you're in a relationship with God. If we pursue the outflow. But if we go unto the law, like maintaining a law will not mean we are plugged into relationship. Law will never give relationship. But when we have relationship, guess what's the outflow? We want to choose principles that lead to life. If you are plugged into Jesus, you want to choose principles that lead to life. Because when you are encountering God in life, you're like, this tastes good. Peace tastes good. Hope tastes good. I want more of it. So I want to encourage you today and say, if you have not made that commitment of saying, like, Lord, I don't want fear. I want the freedom because I belong to you. I don't want fear of misperforming, because sometimes when we focus on the outflow, we have this fear that I'm not doing enough. And when we think we do good enough, we get like proud and say, look at me, I'm doing enough. And both of them, the condemnation and the pride, you are missing Jesus. But that's not going to make you plugged in. But when I pursue God and I'm like, I want to know you. I want to know you. The outflow will be choosing more principles that lead to life. Choosing the word that says, do this, don't do that. If I'm a good friend to Edna and Retief and I walk across the street with the little girls and I see trucks coming and I say, if you want to, you can just run across. Like, do what you feel. It's about what you feel, hey? Because that's what the world constantly, it's about what we feel. No, if we are Christians, it's about the Word of God and the Spirit of God, about right and wrong. So if I love them, I will not do that. But because I love them, because I love those little girls, I will say, hold my hand, and you wait with me. And they're like, I want to run. Look at that cool bunny over there. No, you're going to wait here till the traffic passes, and then we go across. Because I love them. So God, all the time, he sees trucks coming that we don't know. And he says to us, no, why? Because he loves you. Because he loves me. And then that's in that place from knowing him, whether I understand what he's asking of me or not, because I know him, I say, I will choose whatever scripture says and whatever the Spirit of God confirms to me. And I will encourage you. The enemy lies to us and say, yeah, but you like saved and on fire, now just go on what you feel. No, we don't go on that. We say, God, because I know you, I want to listen to you. You see the trucks coming years in advance, and you've also made the provision for me to make decisions in my life now so that for eternity and also for 20 years ahead, there will be safety, there will be fruit, there will be joy and peace. So we go and say, Lord, it's not about what I feel, God. Because I'm in relationship with you, I want to choose principles that lead to life. I want to listen to you and choose you. And I'm ending off with this. If the band can come up, please. If you can please stand with me. We were talking now about, freedom versus fear, and the freedom comes from knowing God. And I want to end off with this. The freedom that the Lord has for us in knowing him, I was sharing this with my friend last night. If we look at Daniel, he was saying he wasn't a brave or amazing Christian. He knew God. He knew God. And the outflow was when they said to him, I want you to bow to another God. He said, I will not bow to any other God. Throw me into the fire. Throw me into the lion's den. My God will save me. And then he said this. But if he doesn't save me, you can still throw me in because I'm choosing him as Lord of my life. You guys, God is good and he's a father, but he is holy. And he responds to us in that place of his holiness. So we can only enter in through the blood of Jesus, through nothing else, not because of works, not because of any great outflow. We can only plug in to God through the blood of Jesus. So freedom is knowing God. And how freedom manifests, it's a Daniel that says, you can throw me, but even if God's going to save me, because I know my God. And then he's like, hey, wait, if he doesn't save me, he's still worthy of my life. And that's a decision you and I have to make. Is God worthy of my life? Is he worthy of me giving everything and anything up that he says? If he asks that now of you, are you willing to give it up? Then you know God is complete Lord of your life. If there's nothing that you say, no, you can't have that. God says he's Lord of all or nothing at all. And God wants to bring us to the place of freedom because of surrendering. Freedom is when Nero in the Roman Empire, he hungers out the animals, they get people in the Colosseum for entertainment, and then they take all the Christians, they throw them in the Colosseum. The animals come out to eat them, and it's the entertainment of the people. Freedom is when those Christians, for a historical fact, you can go research it, sing praise hymns while the animals are coming. And people in the audience jump in and say, I want what they want, what they have. People get saved because of Christians that are being persecuted and they say, I know Jesus and I'm choosing him as the Lord of my life. Freedom is when the Springbok Center, Ruan Janse van Rensburg last week, gets captured by people and they're going to kill him and he asks for them, may I pray for you before you shoot me? That's freedom. We think freedom is like, oh, everything is easy and really good. But freedom is knowing God and receiving his love to an extent that to live is Christ and to die, it's just a gain. And maybe you're not there now, but God is not saying with a taser, hey, you better repent and get there now. He's saying, are you willing and wanting to walk a road with me? I want to walk with you and bring you to a place of freedom. I want to bring you to that place. Where if somebody captures you, you say, may I pray for you before you shoot me? That's freedom, you guys. That's what he wants for you. And he dishes it out and we can say, God, I'm not there in that place where I'm willing to surrender everything and like run off to you in that place of freedom. But that's what you died for me for. then that's what I want. And we can journey with him. So the whole time I was saying now, like, how do we know Jesus? And I said it, but I'll say it again. It's by repenting, by saying, like, Lord, I'm sorry for not running to you. I'm sorry for trying to save myself. I just turn to the blood of Jesus, and I want to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And after that, it's so important that we read his word, we speak to him, and we speak to his community. We stick in his community, because it's by God's word, his spirit, and in his body that he brings that wholeness and freedom that he has for you and for me. So let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're standing in front of every person here. And there's not one person that is not worthy of your love. If there's anybody here, you stand and you think, oh, God wants this maybe for someone else, but who says it's for me? That's a lie. That's the enemy that's trying to sneak in that thought to you. That's a lie in Jesus' name. I say to you, God stands in front of you and me saying, I want to love you and bring you to wholeness and freedom. You are worthy of my love. He says to you, I'm not sure if this is for a man or a woman, but he says to you, jy is waardig van my liefde. You are worthy of my love. And we say thank you for that, God. And today we want to respond to that. And you guys, of course you can respond and you'll see there's power when we take prophetic action. You say, I walk from where I am now with my thoughts and belief, and I'm coming to the front. So I want to invite you, if you at all feel these areas where you want to grow in freedom in Christ, you want to grow to that place of the Springbok Center, you want to grow to that place of Daniel saying, Lord, you are God of everything of my life. If you want to grow in that place, I want you to come to the front. We're going to pray for you. The facilitators can also start coming to the front. If you want to grow to that place, I want to urge you to come to the front. We want to pray for you. You don't have to, but if you want, today is an opportunity for you to respond to God and say, Lord, I want freedom. I want surrenderance. And it's a journey. I've responded to altar calls like this many times in my life. But today I want to urge you to not hold back. It's not about what you look like. If you want to grow in your freedom to Christ, to serve and to know Christ, you can come to the front while every believer is praying. Maybe if you don't know the Lord yet in that place of giving his life to you, giving your life full on to him, and you realize you do stuff, but you don't know God, we want to introduce you to him. We want to pray with you. So you can also come to the front. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your invitation here today, Lord. Just say thank you, God, for your invitation. We just want to respond with yes. If I can just get facilitators to come pray with everybody in the front. Thank you. Now, so I'm going to lead us in prayer, and we can just respond corporately. You can, if you're comfortable, you can pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your truth. Thank you that you show me where I still believe lies. I don't want to believe them anymore. I repent in the name of Jesus of thinking I can save myself, of thinking I can do stuff that will make you love me. But you died for me while I was still a sinner. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I turn to you in the name of Jesus. I surrender, Lord. And those areas of my heart that I've been holding on to, I want to surrender them to. I say yes to a journey of Daniel freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. While the facilitators are praying in the front here for people, I just want to, if you're in the crowd and if you're comfortable and if you feel like it, to turn to one or two people that you came with. You're also welcome to sit on your own and speak to God just for 2 minutes. We're just going to share with God any area in your heart where you realize there's an area that you maybe not yet that free. There's still, and how do you know you're not free? There's still a bit of fear in an area. Then you know that's one of the flags and waves that the Lord wants to bring freedom there. So just for 2 minutes while the band is ministering and the people are praying here for the people in front, I want you to grab the hand of somebody next to you, or you can on your own speak to God and just bring those one or two areas that you think or that the Lord was highlighting to you while we were speaking. And just pray together and just say, Lord, I bring this area to you, and whatever it is, fear of finances or fear of this or that, just I'm bringing it to you and I'm surrendering it. Jesus' name, that's all that you need to pray. Amen. God bless you and keep you.